Welcome back to another episode of NFT Catcher Podcast. We'd like to remind everybody that nothing on the show is meant as financial advice, and to please do your own research. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
Now the subject is NFTs.
They're known as non-fungible tokens, or NFTs.
NFTs are exploding in popularity.
This is a technology that will forever change the way people interact.
So it is happening whether you understand it and like it or not.
This phenomenon is moving the digital.
You have now joined Jenny from the blockchain and Michael Keen on the NFT Catcher Podcast.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the NFT Catcher Podcast with me, Jenny from the blockchain, and my co-host, Michael Keen. For today's Sunday recap, we actually have a guest with us, which is rare these days. We don't often have guests, so we are super excited to have Brooke Lacey joining us. She is a technologist and crypto OG. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jenny. I'm so happy to be here. Whenever, like, either of you ask me to do anything, I'm like, yep, I'll be there. Even though it's late. It was later for you guys. So yeah, I love this conversation. So happy to be here.
Yeah, I should say welcome back, I guess. I mean, you came on when I was on my break, which I was sad about because I was like, no, I've been following you for a while. I've looked up to you in the space for a while, and I'm like, I wanted the opportunity to chat with you as well. So I'm glad that here you are now. And Michael was telling me, oh, you would love Brooke. Like, you're going to love her. So he's really been hyping you up to me, actually.
We had, you know what? That was a really great conversation. I think it was quite a while. Didn't we go for like 2 hours or something? And your producers
I think
were like,
we did. All right, cut. Probably when Jenny was gone, I did a bunch of long ones because she usually like 1 hour comes up. She's like, "All right, everybody, great to see you."
Yeah.
The producers are like, "You know, like, are you guys done yet? What's happening here?" Yeah, that was good. Well, I'm so glad. It's always good to know when, like, you know, I used to do that on Clubhouse where I would just go and talk, and I would be all over the place, and then I wouldn't really know, like, you know, did anybody get anything from that, or was I just talking? And then I would get like feedback, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, you don't want to just be like yelling into the void. Even if it is like helping people, you want to get that feedback. And sometimes you don't really get that with podcasts. I did a podcast for a year about mental health, and I never really got any feedback other than like reviews. So it was hard. That's why I love social media is that, you know, quick fix of dopamine. But it is nice to know. Thank you, Jenny. And same to you. I love your hustle.
Thank you. Yeah, it is so true. Like, besides reviews, and then, you know, sometimes people pop into the Discord, sometimes people tweet at us. It's definitely not the same as if you had, you know, maybe a YouTube show or something where it's like comments, feedback in real time. So, but I don't know.
A live Twitter, you know, like right. One of those videos feed Twitter spaces.
Yeah. Twitter space.
Kind of.
Yeah. So, but you know, we know people are listening. We know you guys are enjoying
this. That's right.
That text is going to get really good. I'm like, Twitter's going to be in the next little bit. Like, you're going to have everybody in video chats like this on Twitter. All those crazy people in Twitter spaces are going to be like,
I agree.
That's what's coming for sure.
I agree.
Okay, so we do kind of have a lot to get into. I do want to start by getting to know your background a little bit. So you describe yourself as a technologist. What does that mean exactly?
You know, my bio has, of course, changed a lot over the years, but that part of it will never, ever change just because of, you know, moving into different industries and, like, you know, doing different things. But being a technologist is really just a simple way of saying that, like, my life revolves around technology, and has for 30 years. So I bring up like age because it does give the background. So I'll be 48 in a couple of weeks. So I started building computers when I was 15, 16 years old. So that was a long time ago. It was 32 years ago. And, I got my first like feel or taste for computers and, like, you know, technology when I had this like first after school job. I'm not going to give you like my entire life story, but it does start there because being a technologist meant to me that I started at 16 and then never looked back, that my entire life, my you know, my living, my everything that I've ever done has been because of technology in some form. And so, you know, I got, it was an after school job. I had, just had some like family stuff happen, and they wheeled in this like giant, you know, Windows 3.1, the kind with like the CRT, you know, monitors that were just like gigantic. And I just, fell in love with it. And I think we women do treat technology a little bit differently, a little bit more sentient. But it was because it did what I asked it to do, and it didn't hit me. It didn't, you know, yell at me, it didn't talk back to me. And it was like, oh, this is what I need personally, because I grew up kind of like seeing code and, not really understanding the world I was in. And so when the computer, you know, just that even a hardware came into my life, it was like, this is it. And my life started, I feel like. So I just decided then. And so I went to college and studied computer science, and then, you know, just have had jobs over the years, did the corporate thing. I was, I moved up the ladder of, corporate IT at a, company here where I live. And, you know, I just hated it. I ended up being one of the like highest paid, you know, tech executives here at this company, but it was like, it was awful. I just had panic attacks every day. I was doing tech support. I was running a help desk, which I loved that. I loved being able to like be the bridge between the super technical and like the business side of things, which is really what I've done over my career, has been this like intermediary or bridge between, you know, the two sides, whether it was for tech support or now with consulting, that kind of stuff. So I quit in 2010, walked away from all of it, and said, I would rather live in a cardboard box with my son. Like, my son's now 19, on the side of the road. That it also gets me emotional, but because that was the most scariest, craziest thing that I could have possibly done, with a 5-year-old and just bought a house, did all this and had all this money, you know, like, why would you leave that kind of thing? And, but it was the most liberating, beautiful decision I could have ever made. And for me, it was like showing my son, do exactly what you need to do and do it now. Like, that's the whole point of that. So I started a computer repair business, and it turned into this, IT services business here locally. And we were hugely successful. Talked about being like the only woman owned and operated computer repair shop in the Pacific Northwest, which is probably true, but also very sad. So I have talked a lot about women in tech, and, you know, I used to do workshops to get girls into tech and computers. So that was a big part of my life. And then I sold that company in 2017. Because computers just started getting cheaper and better made. So our, you know, profit margin wasn't, you know, where it should be. And then I just started doing consulting. So now for quite a while, I was really focused on small to medium nonprofits and being able to go in and sort of like be their general contractor. It was very boring shit, but I loved it, being able to help these nonprofits, you know, get out of their like technology hole where they didn't really know how to, you know, maximize what they were doing. So I've been doing that for a while. And then, you know, the Web3 came along, but it wasn't really like a switch for me. I've kind of always been in crypto. I'll tell you about that. But now I'm really just a consultant. Now I'm back into doing more software engineering, because I kind of like went back to school, and I went back to school. I'm still in graduate school studying cybersecurity. And then I did a software developer boot camp just to like, you know, relearn it, because I've got to dig into it. It was kind of like the devs that I was putting to work, and then me going and doing the consulting, I was getting farther and farther away from the technical piece of it and being like, I need to know what this code says. And it's like, you know, so you're always learning. But when it comes to the crypto piece of it, sometimes I like cringe at the OG thing, because the only reason I'm OG is that we were there in 2010. Well, to start in 2008 with the financial collapse, you know, I watched all like a bunch of family members lose 401ks and, you know, lose houses and all that. And I was fine. I was working at a tech job. I did well. And so I've really stuck with the way that digital cash, you know, was going to work and how that was all coming about, read the white paper. And then we started mining Bitcoin to use to buy off of Silk Road. And we, you know, if your listeners don't know what that is, definitely go and research that, find out, because it was one of the, you know, most interesting things to come out of crypto. And then when the FBI seized Silk Road, I don't know, there's probably 700 or 800 of our Bitcoin were there, because it's not the same. The wallets weren't the same. Again, go and read your history of Bitcoin. And so that kind of like gave us all a little bit of PTSD. And then there was more to it. There was some traded zero, and then we had some in Mt. Gox, and that.
Wait, is that the Bitcoin right now? The government just started moving around, like just last week or whatever.
Yeah,
that's your Bitcoin.
I should post I mean, not all. There's 4 million Bitcoin.
Well, of course, no, I know it's billions of dollars.
Like, yeah, about 700 of those, and I've shit posted it before. Like, what about the FBI doing that? I'm like, is there like a form I can fill out to get those back? Is there like, what can I do there? And people will actually message and be like, you probably could. And I'm like, they're not giving us our drug money back. Okay, like I don't know what you guys think. That's not what's happening here. That is what they're doing, is dumping that back into the market, which is hilarious. So I've always just been
so weird. They're going to sell it for U.S. dollars. I saw somebody post about this. When they just print U.S. dollars anyway, what's the difference? Why do they want you? Why do they?
Right. I mean, let's say this. Like, even if they were like going to give it back, there's no wallet. Like, you can't, how would they know who to give it back to? Like, those wallets are gone. So, you know, it's like, they kind of have to do it. So it makes me laugh. Like, well, at least I'm giving it back to the United States people. I don't know. But yeah, so just moving to, you know, the present, you know, like I was there, I knew about the CryptoPunks, I knew about all these things, but it just wasn't my jam. Like I didn't understand it. I didn't care. And, you know, it was mostly through social media where I was like, all right, well, this is cool. NFTs, what's up with this? You know? And I, again, like, I just didn't really get into it. You guys know I've never changed my PFP, maybe once or twice, but I love the way people, it feels like 2010 crypto. Like, it feels like that. It did at the beginning, where it was like, this is new, you know, I'm a blockchain obsessed, you know, owning your digital assets, like whether it's your own content or, you know, any of that stuff. That's what I'm about. Not a gambler, but I understand gambling. I understand the fact that, you know, number go up, and that's what people want. I gamble my time, right? Like I gamble on whether I'm going to take a certain client or not and how much I charge them, right? I mean, it's not the same thing, but I buy and hold. I dollar cost average. I have for years and years. And there are some of those ancient Bitcoin on a paper wallet that my ex-husband and I guess own together. But I don't think we'll ever bring those on. I don't know. That's always a discussion. People are like, why haven't you brought those on? Like, because we probably would have traded them to zero, like, to be perfectly honest. So some of them just sit over there in a safe that, like, I don't even think my kids, my son's kids will, you know, it'll be like way further down the road. When Bitcoin becomes our bank, when Bitcoin was, and we don't have to do any type of exchange where it's like, no, I can now just pay you with that Bitcoin. There's no taxes. There's no nothing. When Bitcoin becomes our bank, and when it all evens out, that's when that will happen.
Is your son into like crypto and NFTs as well? I mean, he's 19. That's kind of like
this question.
What?
I just love this question because he's a gamer, and like during Clubhouse, and he and I have this really cool close relationship. It's awesome when your kid becomes an adult. But he kind of became an adult earlier on. He's just a cool dude. And I know parents say that, but like you would think so. If he was here, you'd be like, you know, he's really funny. And so like when I was on Clubhouse and we'd be talking about it, people would be like, hey, does your son like, you know, in-game assets, blah, blah, blah. And he'd come up and be like, no, I don't give a shit. Like, why would I care? And it's true because we are incentivized because we're adults that want money. he's not incentivized. Mm-hmm. He has mom's money. Why would he care? Like, why would he care about, you know, taking his assets from here to here? He'll just buy more. He doesn't care. So the only thing he started caring about was when I got him this really super great graphics card and told him about unmineable. And so he will just set his unmineable to go overnight with his graphics card, which is like an RWA. That stuff is not, you know, new. So he mines, I don't know, he was mining like Neo for a while and stuff like that. So he just thinks it's fun. But no, most of the kids that age don't care. They really, really don't. I think he thinks it's cool. He thinks I'm cool, like, but not because of this stuff. And he remembers those days that we were like freaking out because all those Bitcoin were gone. But again, those were like, they were $2. Like, we didn't lose billions of dollars.
That was when Bitcoin was $2, when you had like 700.
I think so.
That was seized. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Yeah, because now it sounds like 700, like, just, you know, people just try so hard just to have one. And wow.
They do the math all the time. That people will always start doing the calculation. And I'm like, no.
That's painful.
You can't do that. Yeah.
Are you?
But you can't do that.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. But I am so sorry that happened. Like, that's like traumatic. Like, I mean, but it seems like you're like at peace with it now. But was that like really hard to get over when it happened? I mean, or was it like, $2 at the time? Or was it not till later that it was like, in retrospect, you were like, oh my God, so, that happened?
Well, okay. This is a very interesting question. And I sometimes answer it a little bit differently because I've always thought about it. You know, and I think because it's only been 10, you know, 12 years, whatever, that is a very short amount of time. Whereas like a lot of times this type of crazy financial situation would have happened like over like 20 or 30 years, right? So it's a different perspective because at the time we were utilizing the mined Bitcoin. We were spending more money on electricity than anything to perpetuate a business of selling weed. Like that was why we used it. Nobody that was mining Bitcoin in 2011 was doing it for generational wealth. And if they tell you that they were, they're lying, because we didn't know. Like, if we were to know that what we were doing with the magic internet money was going to make us billionaires in 10 years or 5, 3 years, whatever, why would we be sending it to Silk Road? Right? Like, so think about the logic here. Maybe it is because I'm older and, like, you know, I've had millions and I've had zero and I've had, you know, like I've been around for a while. So it could be that, but like you can't look back and go, oh, it was at this moment that we all thought, and I'm different than the guys that I was doing this with. They, of course, are like, oh my God, we could have been billionaires. So I do think there's a difference in how women and men think about this stuff, but like it's just sort of like the investor mindset of like at the time, it was the right decision kind of thing. So most investors of, you know, long-term investors will say, you know, if you were to like pull money out or whatever you're doing at the time, it's the right decision. So at the time, we didn't know. At the time, our decision was to utilize that to drop ship drugs to where we live here. And that was where we made money. Everybody laughs, but like, that's what Silk Road was for. The fact that like people don't understand how like useful that was, because you could look to see, you know, how other people's experience was with that, and then be able to like tell your customers essentially that like this is the good stuff. And now we can just go over to Oregon, you know, like where I'm at, and buy it legally. So it's really not that crazy, right? Like, it's the same thing. Actually, now it's even more potent. So no, I don't see. There wasn't like a time, because we still had some, and I think we sold a bunch when it was like $3,000 a piece. And we were like, yes, we're so rich, you know? And again, at the time, it was the right decision. At the time, we sold that and bought a house. We, you know, sold that and did whatever. Did we think to ourselves, oh, if we just hold on to it in three, four more years, it's going to hit $70,000? Why would we sell it at $3,000 if we had it there, right? Like, right now we don't know. A lot of these people are speculating it'll hit 100,000. We don't know. If we knew that, you'd be like literally digging for dollars, right? We don't know. So I think my experience was different from the people I was doing that with. I don't think they'll ever get into crypto again because of how traumatic that was. But again, they're just like doing the calculations. And I also feel differently just about wealth in general. So I'm much more of a like an emotional intelligence kind of thing. Like my wealth is family. Like the fact that my son is healthy and like thinks I'm the coolest, the fact that I was able to afford to take him to Vegas in 2 weeks to see System of a Down, which like I mean, it costs quite a bit of money, but like that's wealth to me to be able to do that. It wasn't like millions of dollars, you know? So all these people like that are talking about, you know, trading themselves to millions of dollars, you know, is that wealth or is that dopamine? Is that like, what is that? At the end of the day, are you happy or are you not happy? So yeah, we could have been.
I'd be happy.
Bitcoin billionaire.
I'd be happy.
I think Michael would have been one of your customers back in the day.
For sure.
No, yeah, you got the hookup.
Do I want to be happy with money or happy without money? I want to be happy with money. However, what we're talking about is
you're exactly right.
Like,
yeah.
It's over.
Yes.
Like, it's over. But, you know, like, I'll make money other ways. So, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I don't think there was a point where I was like, oh my God, I could have been a millionaire.
No, it sounds like it's like the kids.
With everything else.
It's like the kids that were playing with Mickey Mantle baseball cards in the 50s. And they didn't know that, you know, they're just playing with them and having fun and doing what they got to do and trading them and giving. They didn't realize they were $1 million each.
Right. How? Why would we? That's not how the world works. It's not how anything works.
That's how stuff becomes valuable.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Scarcity. Yeah. And, you know, if we knew, then we wouldn't be in this place. We'd all just be holding on to that. Can mine Bitcoin and it wouldn't be valuable now.
Right. Because there's a lot of dead Bitcoin that nobody can touch. That's exactly
four
right.
4 million.
Yeah.
Yep. And probably more now. Because
more, way
idiots.
More.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's funny to think like, oh, there's hard drives in the Idaho landfills. And people are like, now, where is that exactly? Exactly. You know, during another thing too, is there's all these other stories, right? Like during Occupy Wall Street, people were walking around with like flash drives of 5 Bitcoin on them and handing them out because it was Occupy Wall Street, very libertarian and all that stuff. And so then people were just throwing them in the trash. Like, this is dumb. So like, if they knew, why would they throw it in the trash? Right. So that's where we're at is speculation.
They have those videos where they'll be like, would you rather have $100 or 1 Bitcoin? And they'll be like, I'll take the $100.
Yep.
Very smart, very smart. But so yeah, one of the reasons we came together tonight to talk about the Bitcoin halving is obviously this week, and with that is coming the runes, and I've kind of gotten really into that. And Brooke, you've been an inspiration before we even started talking. Just the last few days, I've been watching you talk about it and saying you're like it's not that hard, everybody, and you're like, yeah. I was like, you know what, like, you know, my thesis kind of is like I said on that call, these are meme coins coming to Bitcoin, and it hasn't happened before. And Casey Rodimer has a track record of success. Ordinals did very, very well. It worked. People like it. People are doing well. And I'm taking it as a learning opportunity. Jenny, you can see I have a brand new computer over here running.
Not
my
another computer.
I know. I have a few too many. The one this is on.
Wait, look, Jenny, I got this one, and there's this one, and then this one. I think there's one over there.
Wow, some of us only have one computer.
Don't even say anything about our computer.
Look, this is 6 screens here.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up.
That's great, though. I am jealous.
I'm doing really well. So the last two nights, Brooke has hosted a group of about 16 people on Zoom in her Discord. From her Discord, and it's been really great. People, actually some creatress who we had on, some other people I'm friends with, Plotsky, Wendy. This is really cool. Great group that you've brought together.
Yeah.
And I'm getting pretty far. Right now I am indexing the Ord, what the heck is it
client.
Called? The Ord client, right? I already have the whole blockchain downloaded. and I indexed it, and now I'm indexing the org client, which is almost finished. And then after that, I have
what
some more.
What number are you at? What number are you at?
777,614.
I'm at 806,946, so I
went. Yeah, you do. You're a little ahead of me.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
But the indexing, did the thing I tell you to do, did that fix your RPC issue?
I think my main issue was when I first installed the orange icon, that Bitcoin app, I put it, I think I moved the location. Core. Yeah, I think I moved the location. And I finally figured that out, so we're able to line
that's
that
the
up.
The confusion part of all of this. That's what's like keeping me up at night, which I don't like.
It's a lot. It's been almost two full days. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I have to say, like, this is the last time that I'm talking about it. Somebody wanted me to go on a Twitter space. So, and I'm not saying that, like, hey, look at you. I'm saying that it's stressing me out. And whenever that happens, I'm like, nope, like, I'm done. Cause I used to be so concerned with, like, you know, I have the information. I should be like sharing it. I used to say that all the time in Clubhouse. Nah, if you have the information, you have a, you know, responsibility. Like, fuck that. I'm exhausted. I hope people don't get wrecked, but it's not my job to do any of this. It's just not. If people can't see what's happening, then that's on them. If they can't see that there's a vested interest in all of these, you know, projects that have all of these, you know, that are hitching their wagon to the whatever, you know, like, in order to make money off the backs of your ignorance, then that's not my job to teach you that.
So be specific. Who are you, what are you talking about? Like, the different protocols, the different wallets, the different pre-rune projects. Who are you talking about in that? Like, you're saying you have to look at everybody's motivation, why they're hyping you up, why they're hyping me up, you know?
Right. Yeah. So, and I guess I need to say, especially after like 2 days, I'm exhausted, and I don't want anything to come across as like FUD or that I'm saying, you know, something, you know, against people, because I'm a business too. Like, I have to make money as well. And so these projects, they are a business. They're making money. But I don't agree with the fact that, like, this is really complicated stuff. And so, but like, on the timeline on Twitter, and like, the sentiment is, oh, you can be first, and you've got to really, you know, you got to hunker down and, you know, do this with a hard drive, blah, 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 you know, and that you're going to be first and you're going to make generational wealth. And I feel like that's, we're doing a disservice to people by kind of, and this is what I've seen for 25 years, is like, in, especially in tech support, is like, you know, you're kind of banking off other people's ignorance to the super technical, which is, this is exactly what's happening. And they're saying, you know, there are certain projects that are saying, if you would like to know more, go and buy our NFT. And again, good on you. Like, you have a product, you are selling it for entry into this, whatever. However, it's not really doing what people think it's doing. And like, they're getting, you know, confused. And the stuff that's out there right now, as I went through it, I was like, wait, what? Like, what are you guys being told here? Like, this is wild. And I think it's just, it's like snowball effect, that like, somebody was like, oh, you just have to etch, you know, just go over here and use the Bitcoin Core. And then it all kind of like jumbles together. And then there's people like ChatGPT threading and like putting the stuff together. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Even the founders of those projects that I'm talking about that are on Twitter all the time have said, well, we're not technical people. You know, we're just like working with devs and whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, that in itself is problematic, because you're telling all these people that all they have to do is A, B, and C, and then X, Y, and Z is going to happen. And there's so many things here that are wrong with that, because, and I know, you know, Casey, and I don't know him personally, but I get it, right? Like, I've known of him since the Ordinal thing. He's not, from my understanding, all your listeners that are listening to this, please, like, don't listen to anything I say, but also understand that Casey is not like a degen. He's not a, you know, he's not like doing all this to, you know, number go up. He's just, he's a nerd, and he's like, ooh, I could do this. You know, like, this is so cool. And he figured out the rune, you know, situation, which is, you know, sort of solving the UTXO problem that BRC20 had. And so he's like, cool, let's figure this out. And he's said it on multiple threads, like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know. And so then people run with that and they're like, oh, this new thing. And, you know, you can be early. And granted, the ordinals that are like pre-1000 are now worth like millions of dollars. Now, who knows? Maybe people are just, you know, wash trading those. Who knows? But there is a value in the provenance or the value in the earliness of doing something like this, etching a rune, which is just a shit coin on Bitcoin. That's it. You want to call it a meme coin? Cool. But the fact
is, a culture coin,
It's a culture coin. It's a tradable, fungible token, which they tried to do with BRC20s. But you had to buy them in bulk. There's this whole like situation. It didn't really take off. And so there's, you know, this sort of new way that is going to take off after the halving. So to be like, oh, you can do this without having to depend on third-party encapsulation, you know, by just etching to the blockchain, which is similar to the ordinal inscriptions where you were just like doing it yourself. That was also very complicated. And that didn't really stay a thing. You now still just buy ordinals off of a third-party website, essentially, which they then do all the stuff underneath. You don't even know if it's like on-chain or off-chain or whatever. There's all these different, you know, words to it. And nobody cares about that stuff. They just want to make money. So then when all this was happening like a couple weeks ago, where it was like, you know, Casey talked about this stuff in September of last year. There was no real, from my understanding, and, you know, I was in school. Like, I don't know. I can't keep up on like every single thing. But like, from my understanding, this all kind of came about like 2 or 3 weeks ago, where it's like, hey, you can download the Bitcoin Core and like etch these things straight to the blockchain. And all you have to do is this and this. And then it's like the game of telephone where it's like, oh, you know, here's this guide to do this. And so now I'm following this guide. And then I'm seeing on Twitter that like, oh, if you want to know more and you want this whole step by step, you know, you can get into our token gated Discord. Oh, how much is that NFT? Oh, just $10,000, you know? And so I'm like, wait a minute. Like, wait. So I'm looking at the guide and I go through it 2 days ago because I'm like, this is awesome. I love computers. Like, I'm going to totally, you know, do this. And I've got the Bitcoin Core on 3 different computers. And I'm like, wait a minute. What are they saying? And so the first thing that caught my attention was that they kept saying the SSD. And I don't know if we were sending this out video or not, but for your listeners, I'm using air quotes because they're saying the SSD that you go by. What they're talking about is the external hard drive that apparently nobody said at first, hey, if you want, you can check to see how big, you know, how much space you have in your hard drive on your computer. They just assumed you didn't have enough space on your computer, which would be the easy way. So they just started telling people about this very difficult way, which is the external hard drive, which just happens to be in the form of a solid state drive, SSD. An external hard drive could be any one of these. I want to pick them up and show you, but like they could be any one of a platter hard drive, a boxy SSD from, you know, years ago. They just keep getting better and better, right? But it's just an external hard drive connected by a USB cord. That's what that means. And in order to download the Bitcoin Core onto an external hard drive, it takes a lot of different steps. It's very complicated. As opposed to just downloading it onto your computer. You need a fast internet and you need enough hard drive space. It has nothing to do with your graphics card. It has nothing to do with anything. Another thing I think people don't understand is you don't get any, you're not getting any value or like any reward for being a validator for downloading Bitcoin Core. That's miners. Miners get the reward for it. You're just, you know, running a node and like helping, you know, helping the blockchain. And so great. And so then it became this thing where I was like looking at all these threads and people are sending me all this stuff. And like, I'm reading through it going, first of all, none of this is congruent. None of this is saying the same things. And then you've got all these threads and I'm like, ChatGPT fucking wrote that. Like, I can guarantee you. And so yesterday I was like, I don't know if any of these people that would get on a video call with their reputation on the line and answer questions straight away. And I was like, I'm going to do that because I want people. And I haven't said any of this on Twitter. I don't know if I'm going to, but I'm frustrated because I don't know what this is going to do. It could just fizzle out and nobody, and it doesn't matter, or it could wreck a whole bunch of people. And it's complicated. It shouldn't be this complicated. I could go on if you want.
Dang, that is actually crazy. First of all, I knew nothing about Bitcoin. Whatever you guys were talking about in the beginning, I was completely like lost. But as you started, you know, talking about what's going on, I feel like I have a bit of an understanding. And it seems like the blind leading the blind is yes, what's happening.
That is exactly
and
right.
You're not blind and you're like, wait a damn minute, I can see. And this is BS.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I think a lot of people, like, you know, the people that were kind of ended up at the end of the Discord call today, which I was saying to Michael, I felt really like that I was being an asshole. And I even said it on the Discord where I'm like on the video call where I'm like, you know what? I have to shut this down because, you know, after that 2 hours, you then ask, like, what even is this? And I said before, like, please at least have an understanding of what this is, because I'm not going to. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that everyone's confused about this hard drive thing. So that's what I wanted to talk about. But like, if you don't have an understanding of it in the basic sense, and that's what's going on the timeline, is this hype of like, you've got to hunker down and don't sleep. They're literally telling people like, don't sleep, you know, drink your Monster and energy drink and like be prepared for this, you know, crazy situation that's going to, you know, possibly be generational wealth, but it's going to just make a bunch of already wealthy people even wealthier, because there's going to be these fees, you're going to have to speed stuff up and all of these different things that people don't realize. And then I'm like, nobody cared about hard drives until a week ago. And now you guys all want, you know, now when I'm posting about it and people are asking about it, now you guys care about hard drives? No, you care about making money. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. This is, there's nothing wrong with me gambling in 2 weeks in Vegas. There's nothing wrong with any of that. However, when you don't understand something and it's this complicated, and but you have all these people pushing you to do it because of what? Why? Because they think that we're going to all make money, or are we exit liquidity? I don't know. I don't know. The fact is that you can, as soon as the Runes protocol like gets launched, we can then use that to etch these meme coins. And it's the same as like right now, we could go to one of those websites and say, all right, I want to launch a Sol meme token. And you could just do it. You are the launcher of the token, right? And then all the rest of the people are the traders, the buyers, whatever we want to call them. So this is similar to that. You get to be the launcher of the coin, you know, whatever, what token, the fungible token. And you get to like decide the supply, how much you're going to keep, what it's going to, you know, how many there are. From my understanding, I am not an expert at all of this. All I know is that you're going to have the ability come 420, whenever the Runes protocol gets like launched, to be able to do this yourself with a command line. Like you're going to be able to type in and say, go. And then whether or not that rune has value is whether or not you're going to make any money. And so there's multiple different things here, because now they're saying like pre-runes that you're going to get airdropped. But we have to understand that like nothing is valuable unless somebody is willing to pay for that thing. So you have no idea if that airdrop is going to be valuable or not. I was farming with like Jupiter and all that, and then I got an airdrop of 1200 Jupe. The $Jupe, right? And it then grew in price because Jupiter is doing this great thing. And then I had money. I could take that and I moved it into a stable coin and I was able to like, you know, utilize that. This is not that. This is, you have no idea if this is going to be liquid. If everyone keeps saying the liquidity of Bitcoin, but it's not that. It's not like, oh, now I can. From my understanding, right, Michael, like this is just my understanding of it, is that you're not going to be able to like then trade it for Bitcoin. You trade it for itself. It's fungible. Like it's the thing, right? And then you can like, you know, transfer it over. I don't know. What I'm saying is like, we don't know. we don't have like some solid information, and yet everyone's going to stay up for a week and wreck their mental health and like wreck their health and get sick and do all these different things. I had friends going to Best Buy today, spending $2,000 on a computer. I told them to do it. I don't have any shame in that. If you want to do this and do it the easy way, then this is how you do it. Like, if you're confused about the external hard drive thing, the SSD, then you're not going to make it because it's too confusing. It's already confusing to download and do all this on a computer, on your, you know, internal hard drive. So I'm obviously just worked up about it because I don't like people being fooled. And I don't necessarily think that there's like some, you know, malintent or like grifting. I really don't. I need people to understand that. I don't think people are grifting. I think they're seeing an opportunity and they're taking it. But, you know, people need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and recognize like, what are you really doing here? What, like, let's take a step back and, you know, do you want to go through with all this? Because you don't have to etch runes to be a part of the like ecosystem. You can buy them. Yeah. The whole idea at the time of etching is to get these 13 character sort of valuable words or phrases. And what we were saying earlier on the thing, maybe it's sort of like Google is not really a word. They like made it up, right? But it's valuable. So it could be that like all of a sudden you've got this like, you know, XYZ, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just letters that becomes valuable. Who knows? You know, it's like, I don't know. Somebody yeah. says it's valuable. So then it is. It could be, you know, Jenny from the blockchain. That's not 13 characters, but ooh. No, actually, that's not what I'm saying. Jenny from the blockchain would be valuable because of what it says. What I'm saying is like, who knows? It could be SBPQ, you know, XYZ, whatever 13 characters is. And because some project says that it's valuable, then it goes up in value. But like for what we were saying, I'm looking at these 13 character phrases that like mean something. I have one in my head and I really hope I get it. And I'm not telling people what it is. That I'm going to try to etch as soon as this all goes. It'll probably cost me money because to speed up the process, you have to pay. So that's the other thing is everyone's like, this is free. You know, yeah, technically it's free to etch, you know, a rune. But you're not going to get the one that you want if other people are trying to do it because there's only one. Does that make sense? So
yep.
I just think I made the other argument, I guess, earlier that, you know, when crabs are trying to get out of a bucket, right? We all kind of know this, right? The crabs grab onto each other and pull each other down so that they can be the first one out. That's how crabs work. And I feel like that's what we're all doing here and have been for a while. Especially in the bear market, is that people just were clawing at each other and to get out first. And I just see that happening and not people not knowing where, you know, maybe it's the thing, Keen, that the speed up thing, right? Where they're like, oh, well, speed up. And they're spending, you know, I don't know how it's going to work, but that could be a way that people get wrecked. It could be that they're not etching, that they're buying these things after the fact and they don't know what they're doing there. I don't know. But if you don't know something like well enough, then you should really take heed. I mean, if you're willing to spend a few hundred dollars and lose it, that's what gambling is. Fine. But if you're being told something by like, you know, the societal, you know, the conversations on social media or wherever, and that isn't actually true, or it's way more complicated that they're, you know, making it out to be, then please just be really wary of this. This is like Y2K. You know, yeah. I worked on the Y2K bug and it was just mass hysteria because of mob mentality. It was mass hysteria. And then, of course, nothing happened. And us technologists were like, cut right. We told you. So, I mean, I don't think it's the same exact, you know, correlation, but like, it's just that mass hysteria. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what people's intentions are. I don't know what's going to happen.
Even
Casey tweeted today some funny stuff. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just curious. Are these etched runes, 13 character etched runes that you're going to be able to etch right after the Bitcoin halving. Are they kind of like ENS names?
Kinda. So let me explain a little bit about the 13, because it's actually really interesting. At first, you'll be able to do 13 digits, and there's actually 4.5 quadrillion combinations. So I don't think we'll quite get there. But and then about 2 months later, you'll be able to do 12 digits. And then a little bit after that, I think it's by blocks. And in 4 years, you'll be able to do 4-digit ones. It's like Pet Bay.
Characters. Letters.
And I found that really interesting how he put that together. And Casey Rottermore is 13 letters. Michael Jordan is 13 letters. There's like some interesting ones like that. And also, Brooke, there's going to be early ones, right? So I guess it's a combination of the characters and how early it was etched is going to be important, right? So there's a whole thing. And then do you think the node helps you? Say Casey Rottermore, that name, like I feel like somebody might take a hold of that and that might be something. So like having this set up, obviously it helps me etch if I want to etch, but does it also help me get that earlier if somebody else like etches it and starts to sell it? Or I also saw like Unisat, which I've never used before. I'm not going to endorse them, but they put out today that they are ready for runes. So like if people don't have this set up, they could probably do something with that. Do you know? So like if somebody's not trying to etch, if they're trying to buy, do you know the difference there?
Yes. I mean, you should. Like, this is difference between launching a token and buying one. That's it. In the terms of like what we're doing, you know, what we've been doing, which is trading and, you know, trading shit coins. The difference is this is like you're the one launching it. You get to like choose all the things. You get it at zero, essentially, right? Like you get an allocation. You get to allocate that as many as you want to yourself. And so then like people are going to be, I don't know if I'm just cynical, but like, I think that some of these people, that's what they're seeing is like, people are going to go, oh, I need this many for myself. And so they're going to bet on that. They're going to speculate that people don't know what they're doing. And so that in itself is going to make them money. And does that make sense? So the difference is that people are going to be able to buy when Unisat says we're going to be ready. And so does Magic Eden. That just means essentially like secondary. So primary, if that's what we want to call it, is the launching. Like I would be the primary developer, whatever, if I launched a token. You know, I made a Brook token on Solana 3 years ago. So I was the developer. I created the token. It does not have liquidity. There's no value to it other than it's funny. And so I would send it to people, right? And so it was like in their wallet. That's it. You can't exchange it for dollars. So that's what we're doing is we're etching these runes, these meme coins, these coins, fungible tokens, ourselves, so that then they can launch. And hopefully we've either got one that's got an interesting, valuable name, like Michael Jordan, Casey Rottermore. And so then you are the god of that. That's not the right word. You're like the creator of that. And so you get to benefit from being the creator of that and having an allocation of those so that you can speculate that other people are going to buy them. Or you can etch, you know, SQL XYZ, blah, 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 13 characters on the very first block, which is or the very first sat. So that's going to be probably hard to do, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm, again, still waiting for this thing to index. So, you know, I think that it's going to be that rarity. Like I said, with ordinals, there's these pre-1,000. I almost inscribed a pre-1,000, but I got frustrated with my computer and stopped. I really shouldn't have done that. I really should have figured out what I was doing because those are now like in the millions and millions and millions of dollars. Or I guess.
Millions and millions.
Yeah, I was looking at millions. Sorry. The shrooms, the BTC shrooms are like 4 Bitcoin or something. So and they're only that way because they are under 1,000. They were the first ones. And so because we can actually see on on Bitcoin's blockchain, which ones were first, as opposed to somebody on Twitter saying like, this was the first, blah, blah, blah. No, this is actually, the SAT has a number and you can see it. And it says, you know, Brooke J. Lacey, which again is not 13 characters, you know, or whatever, at XYZZQL, whatever, is etched at SAT one after the halving. Okay, not one, whatever it is. And so that is going to create scarcity. That's going to create value, because then the person can say, I have that. I have one of those or whatever. But these are fungible tokens. So that might not even matter. I don't know. That might not even matter, to be honest, because scarcity is a limited supply. Technically, this is a limited supply as well, but it's fungible. See, I'm still like, you know, learning, yeah. But.
Yeah. I think everybody is. I don't think anyone knows. I've been trying to listen to a lot more Twitter spaces on it. I've been trying to curate my timeline a little bit, turn on notifications for some people talking about this. Yeah. It seems smart. Just trying to learn and be there and hopefully hit.
That's all you can do.
Right. And honestly, like, you're totally right about, like, you know, coming into this, it's a casino. Like, even if you're in the right place at the right time, you could buy the wrong stuff and lose a lot of money very easily. Like what's happened with Solana over the last few months, people have, you know, done crazy well and people have not.
Yep, exactly. Yep,
for sure.
Exactly.
And that'll happen here too.
It will. Yep. 100%. And these pre-runes, I think that's a big issue, is that like, you really don't know what you're getting. Like, maybe because they're like well-known projects, that those particular runes will be valuable because they're associated with that project. I don't know. It's definitely not going to be because of the 13 characters, because they can't promise that. Like, they can't promise, oh, we're going to have Runestone, you know, 2024 or whatever, which that doesn't even make sense. But like, we're going to have that one and it's going to be valuable because of that. They're just saying you're going to get this allocation of runes. But like, do they really even know? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. For me, everything is logic. And right now, nothing's really making sense in that way. Like, the things that I know for sure are technology. And the math isn't mathing. The technology isn't teching. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, the runes thing and Casey's stuff, that totally makes sense. The UTXOs and like what this is solving kind of thing. But like, the idea of free runes and then like being able to buy them, like, I don't get it. I think it's just pumping bags.
There's a lot of that there. Yeah, yeah. You're right. There's a lot of that there. And it's, and stuff gets hype on speculation. So people are like, geez, I don't have my thing set up. I'm just going to buy one of these. It's going to drop me some. And some of them will do well.
Exactly.
And you know what the thing is, honestly, and we've said it even in 2021, look for the devs, the teams, the people that you really trust. Find somebody that is legit, you know, that's not going to hopefully walk away, and someone that you think is doing something cool, because the business has changed. But, you know, if the leader is good, it can, you can put yourself in some good spots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I see Jenny looking at the time.
No, well, it has been an hour, but man, I'm so curious now, because like, I have not dived into it at all. So just hearing you guys chat about it, it raised a lot of questions for me. But it's all very interesting.
What are the questions? I'm sure your listeners have them.
Yeah. So what problem does this solve? You said, oh, I see, you know, why Casey is doing this and the problem that it solves. Like, what problem is this solving?
So, okay. So with BRC20s, which was the first try of the fungible tokens on Bitcoin, that was a hype type of thing too. I'm actually like making sure that I'm saying it right and having this thing. Xverse has a lot of good education. They are not associated. Like, Michael knows that I have to say this. Like, they're not associated with any project. They're just a wallet, but they also have some educational things out there, but they're not, you know, like associated with anything. So with the BRC20 tokens, because what was happening was creating these junk UTXOs. So what happens with Bitcoin is like, it's sort of like putting coins into a piggy bank jar. So if you get 50 cents in the way of two quarters, and it goes into the piggy bank, and then somebody says, okay, I need this. You need to give me 42 cents, you know, back or whatever. You're going to have that 8 those 8 pennies, right, left, but that has to go somewhere. You, like, it's like the change has to go somewhere. It's very technical and I'm not going to like get into it, but it was causing all these junk UTXOs and causing more like fees, and it was expensive. And then not only that, like I had to go buy some OXBT the other day for this other project, and you can only buy them in like chunks. So you can't, it's not like going onto a DEX a DEX and saying, I want to buy, you know, I want to type in how many Pepe I want to buy. I want to type in how many, blah, whatever that I want to buy. Doge. You can just type in how many you want. With BRC20s, it didn't really work like that. It still doesn't. You have to go and like, and then you have to wait. If you want to sell them, you have to sell them at a lower price so that in a chunk of them. And so it's not as like liquid. It's not as easy to trade that, to sell it. You know, they're not easily sold or bought. You know, it has
and
to be
in the a, blocks in a are all different that. Size and they don't get broken up. Right. That's almost almost like the problems you have with NFT projects with different rarities and like weird stuff. It's not as easy. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. And then like, you know, I mean, honestly, this thing that I'm looking at from Xverse, it does get really technical in it. But what we should just remember is like the first try of shitcoins on Bitcoin didn't really work. It was too expensive. So the second try is Casey going, oh, I think I fixed it. And let's try it this way. Cause again, super nerd, wanted to fix something. He did. Now we've got this cool thing happening. So the runes don't require off-chain data and doesn't require like a native token. Cause you know, there's, you have to have two different things. An ETH token is attached to, whatever the other token is, you know, like, I don't know why I keep blanking. Like, Pepe is an ETH token, right? And then like, whatever. And then there's tokens on Solana. There's tokens on Ethereum. There's tokens now on Doge. There's, you know,
and now like Blast chain. And right. Exactly.
Yes. And Base and all that. Like there's a pair. So with runes, they don't necessarily require, a native token to operate. So like for this example, I'm not even going to get into like the Taproot. Just know that like, this is solving that sort of UTXO extra money type of thing. It's just going to save people money. That's what it seems like to me. Again, we've probably lost your audience. They're probably like, what is this crazy lady even saying? I don't even care about all this. How do I make generational wealth? Like, that's how I feel like people are doing that. They don't want to read this. They don't want to listen to any of this. Like, how do I make money? Oh, I need to buy the SSD. Again, air quotes. Like, oh, I need to go, you know, do this. Literally my friend going to a Best Buy, spending $2,000 on a Mac. That's why did she do that? Right? Why didn't she do that today and not 3 months ago to upgrade her laptop that, you know, she needed to be upgraded, right? Because of this, because of the potential of money. So again, no one's, so BRC20s was the first try. Second try is runes. And that's really it. Jenny is like, that's the problem that's solving is like, you're not going to have to pay as much money to make money. Ooh, I like that. That's the problem we're solving.
There we go. Okay. Well, that is very interesting then. And I guess I'm excited to see how this plays out. I mean, it seems like it might be a disaster, but hey, we'll be sitting here watching. So.
Like popcorn.
It's going to be a disaster. It's always going to be a disaster in this space. Like, there's going to be disasters happening.
But there's going to be. Michael, we're gonna etch some cool shit. Like I really have a feeling that, like, you know what? I'm gonna say something like that night where I'm gonna be like, I just slept for 8 hours and I woke up to a perfectly working node, and I'm gonna etch some cool shit. You know what I mean? And then
I'm gonna
laugh all the way. And who knows if we make money? I don't even care. But everybody else does. So
yep. I care, you know, a little mean? Bit. Like, I care a little bit.
Well, no, bit. Exactly. I'm just saying, like,
I'm joking. I'm using it as a learning experience. Like, I want to, I'm really excited to learn. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Sorry.
Yeah. And you got
and then unmute.
Totally. Do you guys know what else is 13 characters? NFT Catcher Pod.
Is it? Jennifer Sudo is
13. Is it? Damn. She's counting it up.
Over here.
Wow.
Wow. Epic. NFT Catcher. Okay, you should.
Brooke is blown NFT away. I might. That might be the first one I try. Get it super early. NFT Catcher Pod.
That would be cool.
That would be
then the only way. The only way you can listen is if you have our token.
No,
nah, I'm only joking. I'm only
then
joking.
It limits. Then
yeah, I'm only joking. Yeah. I'm only joking.
People are like, "Wait, what do I have to do?
What? Huh? You have to buy my. You have to buy my rune.
To buy my shit coin.
Right. Exactly.
We'll have like five listeners after that. They'd be like, no, too complicated.
Okay. No, man, too complicated. I don't know what's happening.
That's hilarious. Oh, man.
Okay, so we should probably transition. And I mean, I know we don't have much we wanted to even talk about as far as topics, because we wanted to talk to Brooke about the Bitcoin halving and runes and all that. Yeah,
that was awesome. So that was awesome. What was it? The Doodles did something really cool at Coachella, right?
Yep. Coileroy performed at Coachella. And in the background, I guess she debuted a new song, and Jillian was saying that, I don't know, something like they weren't supposed to release that song yet or something. I don't know.
Oh, really? Jillian said that, really?
And they're like, oh, that wasn't just her song. Like, it was, but yeah, now it's out there. But in the background, you know, there's always visuals in the background of music festivals, and there was her doodle, like dancing. I think it was doing like some TikTok dance. Like, it was like, I don't know, it was doing like, anyway, it was dancing in the background and everyone was, you know.
So does that mean the doodles were, that doesn't make sense that Julian would say that, because that means that she made the animation and the doodles didn't make the, like the doodles must have made that animation.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up what Julian said.
I know. I need it.
Jenny and I are both doodles, just for a heads up, Brooke.
I love doodles.
Nice. That's what's up.
Let's go.
I know you're in a lot of the communities. I didn't know. Do you remember the first time we met at a VCon with VGF at the Pixel Vault thing?
Yes.
And you know, you probably do not know this. This is probably weird to me even say it, but we're in the same Airbnb for one night. You probably have no idea about that.
What?
Yep. So the final night in Minneapolis, VGF was a gentleman and let you stay in his room, and he slept on the couch, and we were sharing an Airbnb.
Right.
VGF and I were sharing an Airbnb.
Oh,
and then in the morning,
there?
Well, I left at like 6 a.m. for my flight, and he's like, Brooke stayed back there. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. He and I, we spent some time. We're really, really close friends.
VGF's amazing.
And so we spent some time in New York, and he's one of the greatest people I've ever known in my life. And we were talking about that. Yeah. Sorry, that was such a
I didn't. I knew you didn't know that. It's like, very random,
That.
Yeah, but that was the first time we met. Was that week? And then, for sure.
Yeah,
pretty funny. But but this was so epic, exciting. And I'm happy I joined your crew and your Discord, Brooke's Nerd Den, which Brooke Nerd Den is also 13.
Oh,
but not
my God.
Brooke's Nerd Den. You gotta.
Cut that part out.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. I'm giving away too many gems. What was the other one? Degenerate, I think, is, or Degenerates, one of the.
Degenerate. It's only 10.
No, okay. I tried
like runes.
Decentralized.
See, so that is something to be really clear of, is like, those are the words that would be valuable to the community as a whole.
Right.
Brooke J. Lacey, nobody gives a shit about that. You know, like, you could do Jenny from the Block or your name, and
nobody's going to snag
totally
that.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
I don't want to be a token.
Right. I mean, it would be cool, like, you know, to be like etched on a rune. That's cool. It's not going to cost anything. But what everyone's looking towards is to trade shit coins and have it be like, be more control of making the money, I guess. I don't know. So,
I mean, I think just like the way I just keep looking at it and telling myself, like, shit coins or meme coins on Bitcoin just makes a lot of sense with respect to making money. Now, am I the greatest trader in the world? I kind of thought so in 2021 and then realized maybe I'm not. But maybe there's also another first mover advantage where maybe there's a lot of stuff you could throw at that might do 5-10x's. Maybe there's also a really good chance. I'm not going to put money in that I'm scared to lose if I lose it all. I'm going to put a good amount in because I want to take a shot. But like, I know like it's a shot and we don't know what's going to happen and people will win and people will lose. And I'm not early. Like, we're not super early. The people that have 50 rune stones are pretty early. You know what I mean? So there's like, there's a lot to it, but I want to take a shot. I'm in this space, been here for 3 years. Like this really cool stuff has happened. And we had Casey on the show. Like,
yeah,
it's time to make a move and learn. And it's cool. Yeah. I have a Bitcoin node going. I've learned a lot in the last 2 days. Yeah.
Right. That's value. Totally. I'm sorry.
It is.
Like that's value is to know.
I've learned a lot.
You know, that kind of stuff. So that's good. Just teaching yourself, being like proud of yourself for learning something new. It's pretty awesome. I'm glad we have this conversation. I'm definitely not fudding anything. Just want people to be like aware of your surroundings, right? Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Nah, it's legit. This was great. Go ahead, Jenny.
Okay, jumping back to the doodles thing because I've had it's fine. But okay, we were saying, Coi Leroy, she performed this new song, doodles in the background, but people were saying, I don't know. Anyway, so basically I figured it out. People are saying that, so someone's like, people are saying that's not a Doodles record song, though. It's an old Lil Uzi song she just covered for Coachella. And then someone was like, yeah, that's an old song. She tweeted something about her, Pharrell, and Uzi working together. So I guess they decided to play that song. Then Julian said, and this is what I saw on Twitter, is this quote. It's Pharrell's record. It's our record. Uzi recorded too, but it was a leak that was never meant to come out. It ended up becoming a Coi song. He worked with her on it too. No stress, doodles. This is part of the music industry. And Coi crushed on the record and last night. So anyways, I guess that. But yeah, regardless, everyone was tweeting about it. Seemed like that was the... I didn't see any other NFT Coachella stuff, so... That was the only thing so far.
You know,
No,
I was just wondering, there wasn't anything else?
I didn't see anything else about NFT.
You know, they did NFTs there, and they're doing missions around Coachella that you win and that you get NFTs.
Doodles?
Coachella's doing it.
Oh, yeah. That's
Coachella
right.
does. Yeah, I talked about that. Yeah. I think they had tickets and quests is what they call them.
What?
Where you would go to different areas, check in, and you can get badges and NFTs.
Oh, I gotta see if Swicky did that. I know she's at Coachella.
I've never done Coachella.
Yeah, same.
Oh, go back to Y2K for 1 second, Brooke. You so not me. So go back to Y2K. I was in the middle of the Everglades camping for a week at the Fish Festival.
That sounds fun.
That was fun.
That sounds very fun.
We came out on January 3rd and this was, 1999. We didn't have cell phones in there. We lost a friend. We lost him for like 12 hours. Like you could lose people and you have to make plans at these festivals. No cell phones. Like and we were there for a week and we came out and I remember being in IHOP. Like, did anything happen for Y2K? And people were like, no. We had no idea, but we were in there. Fish played.
No,
they played until the sunrise on New Year's Eve.
They thought airplanes were going to fall from the sky.
Exactly. I know.
And none of it happened. None of it, because we were working on it. The devs were doing something.
Rook saved us. That's pretty funny.
Coachella it's for the young people.
It is. It's fun though. You gotta go VIP and get one of like the RVs or whatever that are already set up for you. The rock star pass, they call it. Jenny's nah.
You know what's interesting is
Jenny was at Bonnaroo's last summer.
Yeah, Bonnaroo.
She was at Bonnaroo's last summer. Jenny's a young buck.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
You don't know Bonnaroo? Bonnaroo's another festival like Coachella. I was at the first Bonnaroo in 2001. That was like my thing back in college. We were going all around the music festivals.
Yeah. Is that Grateful like Dead? Lollapalooza?
Lollapalooza is in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lollapalooza off more as like, it's about the same now. But Lollapalooza was more of like Jane's Addiction, rock and roll, alternative. And Bonnaroo, when it started, was Grateful Dead and Widespread Panic was like really like hippie stuff when it started. And then it turned into like the same as Coachella because that's what's popular now.
That's the kind of thing I'm taking Broden to in a couple weeks is called Sick New World. But it's only one day. Like, I don't understand.
One day is kind of lame. I mean, it's not lame, but it's like you want it to be more like, you know, more of an experience than multiple day. And then it's like you can camp there, come back. It's way better when it's multiple days.
Agreed.
That's going to be a crazy festival.
He'll probably have fun. Festivals are always fun.
Oh, yeah. He's super excited. Yeah. We may even be able to meet System of a Down. He's like flipping out. Should have told him. Because I don't know. It's all who you know. It's a friend of mine from Twitter that might be able to get me back there.
Wow.
We all know him, but I'm not going to say.
Wow. The power of networking.
Why I got to talk about G-Money like that?
It's not too much.
No, I was trying to guess. I don't know. I was trying to guess.
Who is connected?
I always try and figure that stuff out. Jenny knows. I always try and figure out when someone says something. I always try to get
Illa, the producer. We just watched Killer Whales.
Is he on Killer Whales?
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
God.
We excoriated it. We did a review. We excoriated it.
Yeah.
Good. You know, I love Wendy. Wendy is a friend of mine, but like that. Crash and burned. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I actually liked Wendy on that. I never followed her, but she was good on that. But it was like, it was just like, I don't know. The whole show was, it needed more. Like it was
Needed some teeth. They were just like, what were the two? Yeah. Sink or swim or whatever. But then there was nothing to it. They weren't investing.
Like,
they weren't
our mentorship.
Right. Or whatever. I don't even know. Like, was that even included?
Was the mentorship?
But it's not like it was like, oh,
there wasn't
the mentorship
like,
package. Like it was just like, they will mentor you. And it's like that.
Yeah,
was
like you'll talk to Scaramucci to on the phone every now and then. Like, what's that going to get? Great.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't great. But
no, it was honestly like, I mean, it was bad. Like, we watched it for, I don't watch a lot of shows. I didn't know how to enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah. I just like, I don't know. A couple of the projects were good. Like, I love Michael Kay and Wallet Garden. That was cool. He went on there and presented a scene. There's just nothing to
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. No, I liked that. That's good marketing for them. But like, also, nobody watched it. You know?
No.
I mean,
it was weird to watch. Andy had to send me some weird link. Yeah. Nobody, I had to watch it on some weird link.
TV. Yeah, it was on like Amazon Prime. Like, I watched it on Amazon Prime.
I guess. All right. But, Andy sent a weird link in Discord. I was watching it on my computer. I know. He probably did. Now he's got access to my thing.
I had to torrent it. Like, I had to, you know, go to like Pirate Bay.
I know. I don't know what I was doing. I had to break out my external hard drive to download the video. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Full circle.
Your SSD.
That's what we used to use external hard drives for, was music. That was the first time I ever bought one. When you ran out of your. When the 120 gigs you had ran out, you had to load up some music on it. Yeah.
I mean, I even have this floppy disk. Like,
oh, wow. That's nice. Jenny don't know what that is. That's like looking at
I
like
do.
A,
I know. Yeah. I know that.
She knows. She knows.
I know.
I'm not much younger than you. I'm going to be 45 in July. And I Apple IIc, you know, when you were talking about building computers 32 years ago, that's when I was in whatever seventh grade on the Apple IIc, making lines with the little turtle, like, for sure.
Yeah. Writing in DOS. I think the Gen X had the best generation. We could talk for hours more, but I really do.
We
think
are the
that,
best.
Because we're the best of both worlds, but also right at the. Because I know millennials also did too, but like we were right at the like formative age. Formative?
Yeah.
Where it was like high school, junior high, where like things were
just. We saw it all happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm in college and I get a cell phone. Like those were the ages that like really built a technologist in my case. But like those were the ages that you're really like starting to learn that stuff. So yeah.
And now we're getting to watch AI.
I love AI.
No, it's the best. Figured you would. That's a whole nother can of worms.
A whole nother show.
Yeah.
A whole nother show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very much along the effective accelerationist movement, which is a long story, but just means like there's this doomer mentality of like, yeah, it's going to take over the world. But like, that's ridiculous because it's not going to stop. Like you have to embrace it and accelerate and recognize the benefit to it and learn. You just that's the whole point of like, learn what you don't know so that you're not stuck and like thinking that everything's, you know, crashing down on you. So, and accelerating means we get to a point where we're like, health is better. And, you know, you could sit with an AI and type in your symptoms and it then generates from, you know, 11 quadrillion points of data. Like, this is what's wrong. Go do this, as opposed to waiting for one particular doctor in your town. Like, think about that, you know?
Yep.
There's always good and bad. Always. You can pick up a hammer and build a house or bludgeon someone. So AI can do all the different things. I say that a lot.
That was a good one.
It's a good
My productivity's 10x'd with AI, with a lot of different AI. And then Michael, and then there's all the fun
AI
stuff.
Contest too.
I won an AI art contest with 6079 AI. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Using Adobe's new structure feature, Adobe Firefly, is sick. You could take any image, and then just so they put out a thing, and I took their logo and made art with it, and it won.
That's very cool.
Yep.
I love that.
Udio is insane. Do you know about Udio? UDIO.com. It's the new music one. It came out like 4 days ago. It's free to use. So Suno was the one that everyone's using before, and it's very good. Suno made awesome stuff. I actually know the founder, Keenan, very nice guy. But this Udio blows it out of the water. It's got to be honest.
That's like, cool. I'm gonna check it out.
Try it. And let it make its own lyrics. Yeah. Like, just tell it what you want. Tell it a genre, and it puts some bangers together. It is really good. UDIO.
That's really cool.
And it's free. It's free because it's in beta. It's brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. I love you guys.
You too.
I'm exhausted and I need to go eat and
this
go to
is bed. It.
Yes, let's wrap this up.
I don't know how
up.
You guys do it this late.
I know. Well, it works out for all of us because Andy and Michael have kids. So, you know. But
yeah, well, it totally works out.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. Brooke, thank you so much for joining us. This was really fun and informative episode. And yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and chatting. And I mean, I hope to have you back again because I feel like we have so much more to talk about.
Yeah, we should do it. We should make Brooke a regular at some point for sure. There's definitely a lot to talk about.
We'd love that.
Yeah. All right, sweet. Well, thank you all. Yes, thank you all for tuning into this episode of the NFT Catcher podcast. And we will catch you in the next one. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the NFT Catcher podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and learned something new about the exciting world of NFTs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you really love what you're hearing, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite platform. If you want to stay up to date with the latest news and insights from the NFT space, be sure to follow us on all the socials at NFT Catcher Pod. You can follow Jennifer at Jennifer_Pseudo and Michael at NFTicket. I'm your producer, Andy, and I'm at AJC254. Our theme song's by It's Just Loose. We always appreciate your feedback and support, which helps us reach more people and bring you informative and engaging content about NFTs. We look forward to bringing you more great NFT content in future episodes. Thanks for listening. Peace.